It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a secondary school teacher in Inishowen says students are not accepting college places because they're concerned about the financial implications to families who are affected by defective blocks. A representative of the housing minister confirms there are no plans to provide modular homes to homeowners who have to move out of their dwellings. A charity supporting older people says it's important that friends and relatives make sure they're heating their homes properly. And Gardaí repeat their appeal for information about a fatal collision on the outskirts of Letterkenny last week. All these stories to follow, plus sport with Oisín at 5:15. Good evening. We begin with defective blocks, and a secondary school teacher in Inishowen has told Highland Radio News today that students are not accepting college places because they're concerned about the financial implications to their mica-affected families. Angeline Ruddy is a teacher at Mobile Community College and is herself a mica homeowner. She says a quarter of the children in the Mobile school are known to be affected, and the levels of anxiety among students have increased massively as a result of the defective blocks crisis.
The increase in anxiety levels among our students is astronomical. I mean, the guidance counsellors are overburdened. They are working daily and they do not have time for guidance counselling anymore. It's all MICA counselling as they try to help the students remain within the school. I mean, I actually don't know if people realise what is coming down the line. I mean, it is a tsunami and we've nothing in place. We have been given no extra supports from the Department of Education to deal with this humanitarian crisis.
And how is it impacting students then? You've mentioned there about college places.
Yep. A number of students have not taken an offer of a college place because they cannot jeopardise the rebuilding of the family home. They feel that it's too much of a financial burden on their families. As we all know, anybody that's looking to rebuild a home, it takes an excessive amount of money. But the problem here is there's no time frame. You know, you can defer a college place for a year, but at this stage, people have been deferring their lives for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And there's still no end in sight for us. So I feel that by voicing these thoughts today, I'm at least giving a call out for my students who have no voice in this at the minute. They are the people that are actually adversely affected. And this is going to continue to be a cycle of disadvantage compounded by the already existing disadvantage within this area. It's absolutely shocking that nobody seems to realise that the spin-off for this is much greater than just the bricks and concrete. It's massive.
That was Angeline Ruddy speaking to Emma Ryan earlier this afternoon. You can hear more of that conversation between Angeline and Emma on our website, highlandradio.com. A representative of the housing minister confirmed earlier today there are no plans to provide modular homes for homeowners who have to move out of houses affected by defective concrete blocks. John O'Connor says he expects the €15,000 in funding for alternative accommodation for homeowners whose properties have been deemed uninhabitable to be available in a number of weeks. There have been repeated calls for the provision of modular homes, and on today's 9 till noon show, Greg Hughes raised that issue with Mr. O'Connor.
No, there's no plans to do that. You know, I think in terms of there's a scheme called the Pyrite Remediation Scheme, you know, that has been running a number of years, and in that case people have to find alternative accommodation, and it hasn't been a difficulty, you know, when people know that they have to move out and find alternative accommodation.
How do you expect people to pay mortgages and rent for years? I don't think you understand exactly how difficult the situation is for people here, especially considering they're going to have to find tens of thousands of euro to even fix their house on the scheme. The numbers don't add up, John. It's really worrying if that's what you think the solution is.
No, I appreciate, you know, Greg, you know, in terms of the difficult situation people are in. And in terms of, you know, again, alternative accommodation, the best way that works is that people are recouped their costs on an ongoing basis, that they're not building up, you know, large costs that are not funded.
That was John O'Connor there. Well, both Mr. O'Connor and Angeline Ruddy are involved in a conference on defective blocks in Letterkenny, which is part of an ongoing research project between the ATU and Ulster University. A number of leading international experts are addressing the conference this evening on their own research, as well as meeting with local engineers, officials and homeowners. One of the organisers of the event is Professor Paul Dunlop, and he told Greg Hughes earlier today the defective concrete block issue was an avoidable disaster.
When I look at this issue, there are standards that have been in place for aggregates and for concrete manufacture in Ireland, because we're part of the EU. There's very clear standards there that are have been around. NSAI have adopted those standards and developed their own sort of adaptation of those, and those were there for a reason. And the reason is, if people follow those guidance, that we shouldn't have been here. So I know from the pyrite heave issue, there were clear statements about this should never happen again. Mm. For me, as someone who's involved in science and understanding on what we know about geology and geological minerals, if those are the main issues that are impacting on concrete, and if people are following standards, guidance and testing, this was an avoidable disaster, I think.
And that was Professor Paul Dunlop speaking to Greg Hughes ahead of that conference, which is underway at the moment. You can listen back, by the way, to the whole of the 9 till noon show, either as a podcast on our website, highlandradio.com. You can also watch the show and watch all the on-camera interviews and the Zoom interviews as well on our Facebook pages and also on our YouTube channel. And tomorrow, that international delegation will visit affected homes in Donegal. On Thursday, they'll attend a workshop at Ulster University in Derry to strengthen research networks and discuss future research plans. Other news, and a charity supporting older people says it's important that people make sure they're heating their homes properly. Cost of living lump sum payments are to be paid this week, including an extra €400 on the fuel allowance and an additional €200 for people on the living alone allowance. All households will also receive the first of three €200 electricity credits this month to help with rising energy costs. The CEO of Alone, Sean Moynihan, says despite the additional supports, many older people are still anxious about their bills this winter.
But ultimately, is people have to divide these over a couple of months, and different people are in different scenarios. Some people with solid fuel, some people with central heating. The main thing to know is people need to stay warm to stay well, especially those over 75 with underlying conditions. And they're the people we worry about. And what we need them to know is that we've set up our winter response. We're partnering with the government departments, with MABs.
Gardaí have repeated their appeal for information about a fatal collision on the outskirts of Letterkenny last week. It happened just before midnight on Wednesday last on the Remelton Road. 18-year-old Chloe Gallagher Fanneran, a front seat passenger in one of the cars, was pronounced dead at the scene. Well, Sergeant Charlene Anderson is urging anyone with information to come forward.
Gardaí are investigating a fatal road traffic collision involving two vehicles that occurred at approximately 11:55 p.m. on Wednesday, the 9th of November, on the Remelton Road in Letterkenny. Now, the front seat passenger, one of the vehicles, a female in her late teens, was pronounced dead at the scene. The male drivers, both of which were taken to Letterkenny Hospital with serious injuries. So we're appealing for any witnesses this morning to the collision to come forward. Any road users who may have dash cam footage and was travelling on the Remelton Road in Letterkenny between 11:30 p.m. and midnight, we'd ask them to make that footage available to Gardaí. And also anyone that has any information in relation to the incident to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 0749 167 100.
Detectives from the PSNI's Organised Crime Unit have welcomed the sentences handed down to three men at Newry Court today following an investigation into threats made while purporting to be from the INLA in an attempt to extort a significant sum of money from a man in Strabane in 2019. 48-year-old John Curry and Thomas Brown, aged 49, were both sentenced to 18 months, serving 9 months in prison and 9 months on licence, having pleaded guilty to blackmail. Martin McElroy, aged 52, was sentenced to 12 months imprisonment, suspended for 3 years, having pleaded guilty to blackmail. Detective Inspector Ray Phelan said the threats caused unimaginable distress to the victim and his family. He added police were grateful to colleagues in An Garda Síochána for their assistance in the investigation. The British Foreign Secretary insists there are still big gaps between both sides in terms of reaching a deal on the Brexit protocol. Earlier, Minister Simon Coveney, the Irish Foreign Affairs Minister, said he believes there could be a deal by the end of the year.
So that we can ensure that what was agreed in the withdrawal agreement, which includes the protocol, can be implemented in a way that unionists can accept, that businesses in Northern Ireland recognise is a is a sensible and practical compromise that has taken account of their concerns and anxieties, and they are real, by the way. And I think we can do that. I think we can do that before the end of the year.
Simon Coveney there, however, his British counterpart James Cleverly is playing down talks of prospective progress.
My big caveat, though, is I would say that a good working relationship, regular conversations, goodwill and trust are necessary but not sufficient. So those ingredients are there, but I don't think we should necessarily meet. So we shouldn't rush to the conclusion that therefore everything's about to come good, because there is still serious work to do and there are still big gaps.
Donegal TD Padraig McLaughlin is urging all parties to support a Sinn Féin motion calling for measures to address a recruitment and retention crisis in the retained fire service. Deputy McLaughlin says the service isn't fit for purpose, and that's been proven by the fact that firefighters have voted for industrial action. A review led by the head of the Dublin Fire Brigade is underway, but Deputy McLaughlin says it's not making progress fast enough. He says the praise heaped on the service, particularly in the aftermath of the Chrysler tragedy, is well deserved. But he says firefighters need more.
Well, it's just taken too long. We were supposed to have a draft ready back in February. Here we are now at the end of this year. So it's going on and on. So what they are looking for, the National Retained Firefighters Association, is a committee, an all-party committee in the Dáil, to look at this for a number of months, to make strong recommendations around the issue of pay, conditions, and the management of the retained fire service, and to make it a service that is fit for purpose.
A special workshop will take place next week to investigate claims that beggars are being bussed into Letterkenny. The Cathaoirleach of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District last week raised serious concerns over reports that those purporting to be beggars are intimidating people. The workshop next week will involve Donegal County Council, Gardaí, St Vincent de Paul, social welfare representatives and the Simon community. Councillor Donal Mandy-Kelly says it's important to differentiate between what he termed fraud beggars and those who genuinely need help.
This is something I brought up at our MD meeting last Tuesday. I have been contacted by numerous members of the public regarding this street begging that's going on at Kenny Main Street. And what I have been told is that it's just fraud gangs that is coming in and dropping these people off in the morning and left them at night. And listen, the public feel intimidated there on that Kenny Main Street. And some of the phone calls I've got since I raised this issue, Michaela, it's shocking what actually has gone on. And I have called for a multi-agency meeting to take place with elected members, with the council, Gardaí Síochána, social welfare, the Simon community, St Vincent de Paul, to get to the bottom of this, Michaela. Listen, I'm glad to see, as recent as yesterday, and I had a conversation as well with the sergeant yesterday, but I'm glad to see that some progress has been made.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports Letterkenny, with great stocking fillers like snoods and bobble hats. Shop local and find the perfect Christmas gift with free next day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Over to Washington in just a moment, but first, Cabinet has signed off on a formal bid for Ireland to host Euro 2028 with the UK. Under the plan, Ireland would host up to 7 games in the Aviva Stadium and Croke Park. With more, here's Barry White.
It's one of the biggest sporting events in the world, and Ireland could soon be hosting the European Football Championships. Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny has already welcomed the bid.
Yeah, I think it's good news overall. I think it's positive to have the European Championships in Ireland.
If successful, Ireland could host up to 7 games with over 1 billion people watching across the world. And it could generate millions for the economy. A decision on who will host the tournament is expected to be announced by UEFA in September. And the Ireland and UK bid is seen as the favoured one.
Well, for more on this and the rest of today's sports news, here's Oisín Kelly.
Well, Donal, UEFA's deadline for formal bids is tomorrow, with government sources confident that the pitch will be successful. Ireland is bidding to co-host in 6 years' time, along with England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Minister for Sport Jack Chambers said he would be hopeful that the Aviva Stadium, or indeed Croke Park, could get to host at least one knockout game.
I'd expect we would have to have a game beyond the group stages, and I expect that would happen. But as I said, I'm not going to speculate on what specific games we'll receive, but I expect that to be the case.
Well, any profits made from hosting Euro 2028 must be pumped back into the League of Ireland, according to one of the club's chairmen. Drogheda United chair Conor Hoey says any money generated from hosting must go back into grassroots football.
As long as the profits and made from it are reinvested into the game nationally, back into facilities, whether it be at grassroots or in League of Ireland stadia, which are so decrepit at the moment right across the league, that's what needs to happen. So again, it's a real positive thing, but we need to spend the money that we make wisely.
Just in with football, FAI CEO Jonathan Hill says the association supports calls for the basic human rights of women and the LGBTQ community to be protected in Qatar. He says the association has been in correspondence with Amnesty International ahead of the World Cup. Hill's also backed the calls for protection of migrant workers in the Gulf state, but he stopped short of criticising the regime there. Rory McIlroy says Greg Norman needs to quit as commissioner of the LIV series if relationships in the sport are to be repaired. The world number one has been fiercely critical of the breakaway Saudi-backed event, which has seen a number of high-profile names defect from the PGA Tour. McIlroy claims tensions won't ease while Norman is still in the position.
I think he needs to just exit stage left, and look, he's made his mark, but I think now's the right time to sort of say, look, you've got this thing off the ground, but no one's going to talk unless there's an adult in the room that can actually try to mend fences.
Gary Hurley remains well placed to gain a card at the DP World Tour's qualifying school in Spain. After a penultimate round of 70, the Waterford golfer sits in 12th position on 18 under par. The top 25 plus ties will qualify. John Murphy is 42nd and 5 shots adrift of the current qualifying mark. The ATU Donegal Ladies Gaelic Footballers are in Dublin this evening playing in the HEC LGFA League Division 3 semi-final. The Letterkenny College are up against DCU in the last four of the competition, with the game starting there at 6:30 at the DCU campus. And finally in rugby, Ross Byrne has been called up to the Ireland Rugby Union squad for Saturday's Autumn International at home to Australia. The Leinster fly half joined up with Andy Farrell's squad yesterday amid concerns over captain Johnny Sexton's fitness. Joey Carberry has been ruled out after suffering a head injury during last weekend's win over Fiji. And that's your sport, Donal. We'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. A Donegal garage owner says he is seeing cars being damaged by wild deer on a daily basis. There have been several collisions, including one recently involving an ambulance. There are now calls for a cull of the deer population in the west of the county. Noel McFadden has a garage in Bunbeg. He fears someone could be killed on the roads.
We've been called out to tow in cars that have been really badly damaged by hitting a deer, and especially at night. You don't see them. They just run out in front of you and you have no chance at all. And the poor people, the cars are so badly damaged, bonnet, that deer will go straight up over the roof into the windscreen and make an awful lot of damage to the car.
A quantity of gold jewellery has been stolen during a break-in in Carrigans. It's believed entry was gained through an unlocked door to a house on Main Street on Friday last between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. With more, here's Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson.
Six gold rings were stolen and four gold chains. So one of the rings is a gold cladder ring. Then there's two gold rings that have Celtic writing and patterns, and the other gold rings were with like plain bands. So the gold chain also has a Celtic design pendant attached to it. Now, we will post similar pictures on our Garda Facebook page later on, and I do stress that they are similar pictures. It's not actual pictures of the items. But we would ask if anyone has any information, or maybe if they're approached in the next couple of weeks on the approach to Christmas to buy items of this nature, to contact us at Letterkenny Garda Station.
And you can see those pictures on our website, highlandradio.com, as well. Meanwhile, Gardaí in Letterkenny are appealing for information about two burglaries in Glenwood Park. A 40-inch flat-screen TV, an old-style TV and a baseball bat were taken from one property between 9:30 on Saturday, November 5th and 10:30 on Tuesday last, November 8th. Meanwhile, damage was caused to the lock on the back door of another house in the area and a tile cutter stolen. That happened between 4:30 on Friday, November 4th and 7:30 on Monday, November 7th. Cabinet ministers have approved a draft plan that paves the way for the introduction of a gambling regulator. The plans also include a ban on adverts between certain hours of the day. With more details, here's Aoife Kearns.
Technology is to the fore of the Gambling Regulation Bill. It'll see stricter rules around advertising aimed at protecting vulnerable users such as children. Junior Minister at the Department of Justice, James Brown, explains more about these rules.
A watershed will be put in place, so you won't be allowed to advertise on television or radio between the hours of 5:30 a.m. until 9 p.m. But then also on social media, you will not receive gambling ads. They are prohibited unless you opt into them. So that's where we're taking a very strict approach on advertising.
These people say minors being exposed to these ads is something that happens regularly.
I've been getting gambling ads for, I mean, I'm 18 now, and I've been getting gambling ads since I was like 16 on everything, YouTube, Spotify, mainly YouTube though.
My own young lad was downloading a game yesterday and there was an ad there for a gambling machine on it, do you know, and he was only downloading a kids game. So huge problem, and definitely seen a lot of lives ruined personally with it.
The advertising rules will be overseen by the Gambling Regulatory Authority of Ireland. The regulator is expected to begin its work in 2023 and has already appointed a CEO, Anne-Marie Caulfield.
The Ballyshannon Historic Towns Initiative has been shortlisted for a major national award. The project, a partnership between the Ballyshannon Regeneration Group, Donegal County Council and a number of state agencies, has been shortlisted in the Community and Heritage category of the forthcoming KPMG Irish Independent Property Industry Excellence Awards. The ceremony takes place on Thursday week. Last month, the Ballyshannon Group was honoured at the National Heritage Week Awards. Gritters will be seen on a number of roads in Donegal tonight and tomorrow morning for the first time this winter. Roads in Killult, the Rosses and Stranorra West are among the routes that will be covered as temperatures continue to fall. Further details of the designated roads on our website. And the weather forecast from Met Éireann, staying dry for the moment, but we'll see a mixture of clear spells and scattered showers tonight with mostly light southeast breezes. A few of the showers will be heavy, but they should die out by morning. It'll be chilly overnight, lows of 2 to 4 degrees Celsius, a touch of frost in places with mist and fog patches forming. Mist and fog clearing most parts by tomorrow morning, but could linger in some spots into early Wednesday afternoon. It'll be dry tomorrow with sunny spells for a time, becoming cloudier though as the afternoon goes on with scattered showers developing. Highs of 7 to 10 degrees Celsius tomorrow, light to moderate east or southeast winds. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief. A secondary school teacher in Inishowen says students are not accepting college places because they're concerned about the potential financial implications to their families who are affected by defective blocks. Angeline Ruddy, a teacher at Mofill Community College, is herself a Mica homeowner and says people have no idea the enormity of the crisis in Donegal's schools. Meanwhile, a representative of the Housing Minister has confirmed there are no plans to provide modular homes for homeowners who have to move out of their houses affected by defective concrete blocks. A conference on the issue is underway in Letterkenny. International experts are addressing the conference this evening. Tomorrow they visit affected homes in Donegal, and on Thursday they'll attend a workshop at Ulster University to strengthen research networks. And the charity alone says it's important that older people are heating their homes properly. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 15th of November. The death has occurred in the USA of Bella Sanzone, Carrick Guidor, originally of Corvine, Derry Beg. Her remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow, with rosary at 8 p.m. and again on Thursday from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. with rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, on Friday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of John Carberry, Maharalask Glenswilly. His remains are reposing at his son Tony's residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning to St Columbus Church Glenswilly for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with interment afterwards in Kilfeek Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Please adhere to local traffic guidance. The death has taken place of James McCallion, Drumlay, Glenelly. His remains will leave Liam Collins' funeral premises, Cooldaff, at 6 o'clock, going to his niece Marion Diver's home at Kindroyhead, Glenelly. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bochan, Cooldaff, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. visiting time tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family fares only, please. Donations, if desired, to Nazareth House Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Kathleen Friel, the Lag Milford. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 in St Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family fares only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. And the death has occurred of Robert Bob McLaughlin, 102, Westway, Derry. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 20 past 9, going to St Mary's Church, Creggan, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore. Family fares only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Macmillan Cancer Support. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.